Beloved family, friends of Leodonus, when a believer comes to the time of a funeral of a loved one, the believer begins with God's Word. It's the Word of God that tells us who we are. It's the Word of God that defines for us who we are, what we are, and to whom we belong. It's the Word of God that teaches us from beginning to end how we are to live our lives in this world in which is created by God and in which He holds the breath of every one of us in His hands. So when we have a funeral of a loved one, we go to the Word. The Word is what explains, the Word defines, the Word declares, the Word promises us as believers of our hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of resurrection in Jesus Christ. And you think about for a moment, as I mentioned in the prayer, as I prayed that particular text of Scripture in Philippians 1, where the Apostle Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For the believer, to die is gain. To die is to go and to be with the Lord. And this is what the Bible teaches us from beginning to end, is that we are in the hands of God. And nothing happens by chance. And so we can take great comfort in God's providential rule in this world, no matter what happens to us. And you need to continue to remind yourself daily that it's the Lord who is in control of all things, and He is working out His good, perfect plan in this earthly realm. It's God who is doing this. And that gives you comfort, no matter what you're going through, no matter the difficulties of life, to know that He is ruling and reigning. And this is what the text says that I read, the scripture reading, that Jesus Christ is the only way. It's emphatic in the Greek text. The only way, the only truth, the only life. He is the only way to the Father. There are not many roads to God. There's one, and His name is Jesus. And if you think there's other roads to God, you're fooling yourself. You are self-deceived. There is one road, and His name is Jesus. And if you're not on that road, if you're not heading to the highway of holiness, then you are on the broad road that leads to destruction. There are only two roads in life. You are on the narrow road that leads to life because you are trusting in the only Savior, Jesus, or you are on the broad road that leads to destruction. And that's what Jesus said. Most of the people in this world are on that broad road that leads to destruction. Don't be deceived. Listen to what God says in His Word. Call out for understanding. Even Solomon in this, in wisdom, cries out. And that's what we ought to do, is cry out for understanding. And God gives it to us here. Paul says, we know something. Notice in our text, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We know. How did he know that? Well, as every believer knows, we have the promise of God, and the promises of God cannot fail. Whatever God declares must come to pass because God cannot lie. And He has promised that there is in the heavens, when this tent is destroyed, we have a home in the heavenly places. So there is the assurance of salvation. There is the assurance for the believer when this tent folds up that we will be with the Lord, is God's Word. And so if you're here this morning and you're a believer, you've got to take the time every single day to rehearse the promises of God in your mind. You've got to remind yourself of God's promises. You have got to remind yourself of the work of Christ in your place. So Paul says, we know. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, and this is a metaphor, he's describing the body in this way. Think about how he's describing the body. It's a tent. When Jesus came into the world, John describes him as having tabernacled among us. John 1. He tented among us. He pitched his tent among us. The tent that was temporary. That's our tent. Our bodies in this life are temporary. They're temporary bodies. And as tents do, they go through all kinds of weathering storms, don't they? And as time goes on, you find holes in your tent. You find tears in your tent. You find the tent doesn't keep the rain out as it ought to. It doesn't keep you cool any longer because it has holes in the ceiling and the sun peeks through there when it should be keeping it out. Israel was the same way. They had a tent in the wilderness, a tabernacle. And it was to teach them 40 years wandering, taking it down and setting it up, that it was a temporary tent. They had not yet come into the promised land, to the permanence that God was giving to them. And for the believer, we know that that is heaven, our heavenly dwelling. And so Paul says this, that we know this, that if this tent is destroyed, this tent wears out, if this tent is burned in a fire, if this tent is taken in a car crash, if this tent is cancer-ridden, and it takes this body, and so the soul departs because it's no longer inhabited. We know, as Paul says, that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know this. God has prepared this very thing for every believer. Not made with hands. Made by God. A dwelling place made by God. And so Paul says, in this tent, we groan. Now you know, if you're over 50, you know about the groanings. And you know, the older you get, it seems the more groaning that takes place, doesn't it? We groan. Do you understand that groaning? Do you listen to the groaning? You see, the groaning is meant to teach you something. It's meant to inform your mind that your tent is closing up. That your tent is soon going to no longer be inhabitable. Are you listening to the groanings? You know, oftentimes we don't. We groan and moan about the groanings, don't we? And yet they are meant to teach us of the temporalness of our bodies in this life. Permanence is not coming. Not yet. It's coming in the future, but it's not here. Not in this body, in this existence. The tent is folding up. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed, Paul says, with the habitation which is from heaven. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And then the saying comes to pass that death is swallowed up in life. It's coming, but not yet. The tent is folding up. Are you prepared this day for your tent to be folded up? I did a statistic once about how many people die in the U.S. Census. And it was something like 2 people every second die. You think about that, how staggering that number is. 2 people every second. Do the math. People's tents are folding up right and left every single moment right now. Right now. How many people have died already? Since we began this service, how many tents have folded up and how many people have gone to their eternal home? Whether heaven or hell, there is only 2 places in this universe. You are with the Lord or you are in eternal torments. We desire, we have an earnestness to be clothed. We long for, that's the longing of the believer, is to be with the Lord. And as the tent, you can feel it folding up more and more. The longing and the desire becomes more to be with the Lord. It's a natural thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a preparedness. It's a mercy from the Lord. As your body wears out, it's a mercy from the Lord. He is showing you, telling you, your body's pain is screaming at you. It won't be long now. Are you prepared for the tent to be folded up? Where will your destiny be? Where will you appear? Make no mistake, you are going to live forever. Every person that has been born from Adam until the last person in this world is going to live forever. The question is, where are you going to live? What is your eternal dwelling? Is it in heaven with the King of Glory? Or is it in hell, suffering God's just vengeance against your sin? It's the two places that the Bible describes. If you don't know, you need to know now. You need to know before this service is ended. You need to trust Christ. You need to call out to the only one that can save your soul. And his name is Jesus. You need to cry out to him. You need to ask him for forgiveness. He alone can forgive you of all of your sins. He alone can prepare a place for you in the heavenlies. A place not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul goes on, we have a habitation. We have a covering, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, there is what's called the theological terms, an intermediate state. The intermediate state is the state that Leota is in right now. It's the state that every believer who has died in Christ has gone to be with the Lord in their soul. The immaterial aspect of man. Man is body and soul. The soul has departed and is no longer clothed with this habitation. It's waiting the heavenly habitation, and that is the glorified body. That is the body that the Lord will bring up out of the grave, and he will resurrect that body, and he will cover that body, that earthly body, with mortality. So that body would never die again. That's going to be a body without pain. That's going to be a body without suffering. That's going to be a body where all the tears have been wiped away, and the former things will never be remembered again. That's a glorious dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the first fruits of the blessed resurrection of every believer. And so we know it's true. Jesus declares it to be so. His word tells us this. But we don't want to be found naked. It's a tension, isn't there? We don't want to be unclothed. Nobody really wants to die. Death is an enemy. Death has come into this world as an enemy. That's the last enemy that is going to be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's already begun. He's already triumphed over the grave in his blessed resurrection. So it's coming for every believer. It's a promised hope. Think about the promise that Paul gives us in Romans 8. For I am persuaded, I am thoroughly convinced is what it means. That neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The promise. No separation from Jesus Christ. Why? Because he conquered death in the place of all who trust in him. His people. Romans 8 is got bookends. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, Romans 8:39. Bookends of that chapter. Glorious chapter. And it all comes to pass because of the work of Jesus Christ. But he says, we groan. We don't want to be unclothed, but further clothed. We want mortality to be swallowed up by life. Do you have that hope? Is that your hope? Are you one this morning who is truly trusting in the only Savior that the Father has given? He's made it plain. He's made it clear. I think some of the things that we miss is we like to quote that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we think that's just a blanket statement, that everybody that thinks about Jesus, okay, Jesus came into this world, okay, I'm good. It's not what it says. Are you trusting in Christ? Let me give you an analogy. There was once a man who walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He walked down and he walked back. And he got a wheelbarrow and he wheelbarrowed across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. It's a true story. And when he got down, he came back, he looked down at the crowd of people, and he saw one particular man and looked at him and said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And the man said, "Yeah, I just saw you do it." He said, "Well, get in the wheelbarrow." Do you believe Jesus is the only Savior? Is that just a nominal thing? Is that just simply your confession, but you're not truly trusting Him? Get in the wheelbarrow. Truly trust Christ. There's no other way of forgiveness. Now, as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness and constantly complained and moaned about their existence in the wilderness, the Lord sent poisonous snakes into the camp to bite the Israelites. Moses began crying out to the Lord. And as Moses cried out, the Lord said, "Stop crying to me. Go ahead and take a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and tell everybody who is snake bitten to look to the pole and they will be healed." It wasn't the pole that actually healed. It was an act of faith, believing the promise of God. Jesus uses that same analogy when he said that the Father had sent the Son into the world and that whosoever believes on Him will not perish. Notice in the wilderness, there was only one way to be saved temporally from the snake bite, and that was by looking to the instrument that God had given. The only instrument, none other. And if you didn't look, you perished in the wilderness. Well, in the same way that God gave His Son, His only Son. And the Father says to look to Him or perish. He's given the way of forgiveness, the way of eternal life, and His name is Jesus. Are you looking to Him this morning? Paul says God has prepared this thing for us in verse 5. He's given us a guarantee. You see, this is the guarantee for the believer. This is how the believer believes God's word. Is the Spirit of God working within him. The Spirit of God causes the believer to believe every word that God has spoken. We don't believe this on our own. You believe this as an act of the Spirit of God who illumines our mind and convinces us sweetly and softly of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're no better than anybody else. We haven't made ourselves to differ. It's the Spirit of God who has done that work, and that gives us the hope of the resurrection. We're confident that knowing that while we're at home in the body, while we're here, we're absent from the Lord. He is not physically present with us. He has ascended into heaven. His work is complete. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Thus signifying the work of the high priest, typified in all of the priests of the old covenant, has been completed once for all time, never to be repeated again. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know, the priests in the Old Testament, they never sat down. The work was never finished. It was day by day by day offering sacrifice. Christ, once for all time, at the end of his life, offers the sacrifice for his people, never to be repeated. Sits down. We're confident. He's given us this guarantee. And yet, we're not here with Him physically. He's here spiritually. He's here with us when we take the Lord's Supper spiritually. He's here with us when we gather together corporately in a special way on the Lord's Day. He is among us walking, as the book of Revelation said, among the candlesticks. He's ministering to His people. He is at no time absent from His people spiritually, but physically. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He's there to be worshipped. We long to be with Him. So we walk by faith. This is how the believer walks. He walks by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? You walk by faith in God's Word. If God says it, that settles it. It's the end of the story. That's how a believer lives. And then you have the confident assurance that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what Paul says in verse 8. We are confident. We are well pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The believer's longing for the tent to be folded up. Leota and every saint that has gone on before, they're not weeping. They're not longing to be back here. They're not suffering. They don't have any more pain. They are now with the Lord, which the Apostle Paul says is far better than being here. It's tough when the tent starts to fold, but there is the anticipation. Today, tomorrow, the next day, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Do you have that confident assurance? If you don't have that confidence, you've got to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got to ask Him for forgiveness, for hope. You've got to ask Him for life everlasting. He alone is the dispenser of everlasting life. That's the promise that we have in God's Word this morning. Amen. Shall we pray?